And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And Dave, today is Monday, February 24th, 2020. Good afternoon.
Well, happy Manic Monday to you, Melody.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a manic day, and, you know, it was a very exciting day and a very concerning day, and you get all these emotions that are going in all different extreme directions, and so it was a great day for gold and silver. And, you know, in the very beginning of the day when the markets opened, I thought, well, you know, they'll probably bring the stock market back somewhat, and the big move we saw in gold, I'm sure they will bring back also, and which they did. And I told Dave when we were getting ready to do the program today, we're getting tired of these $15 and $20 moves in gold. We need some action. You know, we need to have it close up 40, 50. And if everyone remembers, and those that have listened to this program for when Bob Chapman was on, we often talked about moves in gold of $100 plus in a day. And I think we're certainly going to see that. And this was just a sampling of what the markets can do, what gold will do, what silver will do. And with that, let's get to the numbers. Gold today, right now in the New York spot price after market, which it continues to trade after spot closes, up $1,570 at $1,659. Now, we did have a high of $1,685 for the day, and that's how much it has pulled back. So we were up almost $45 on the day. Silver was up 16 pennies, $1,871, and we did pop over $19 briefly. And so it came back $1,871 right now in the New York spot price aftermarket. Platinum down $9 at $916, with palladium down 79, $2,685. We did touch a low there of $2,490, so it really did hit a it dropped big pretty much, you know. And then of course damage control comes out in the paper markets, and that helped saved palladium somewhat. Pressure on the dollar, but only down 0.5. It was higher earlier this morning, 99.29. Crude oil was down huge, 2.02% at 51.36. And I'm sure there's still some final numbers that are coming through in the paper market. But as of now, you have the Dow down 995 points, 27,996. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if they couldn't pull a couple of extra ticks here in the next couple minutes, maybe, to get it back up over 28. Don't know. I think that was their goal for the day. The NASDAQ was down 355 points at 9,221. And numbers do make a difference. People say, well, big deal. What if it's 28,000 versus 27,900? It makes all the difference in the world. These numbers are psychological, especially when they're, you know, it does make a difference. And so that's why I always say at the end, they have these, I don't know, strike points and numbers, and it does make a difference. And I don't know, Dave, if you would say it would, interfere with, you know, if 28,000 is a resistant level or just a, I don't know if there's any other, if there's a better way to explain that, but I do believe it makes a big difference whether it's on the upside, if the trend is up, or whether the trend is down.
Oh, yeah. That absolutely a psychological, either some people call it a barrier, some people call it resistance. A good thing to look at is the 30, 50, 60-day moving average of these markets. And I don't know what the equities are at after today, but certainly the 28,000 figure would be a resistance to talk about. You know, a market on the verge of moving toward correction.
We had the S&P was down. Thank you, Dave. The S&P was down 111 points at 3,225. Now, percentages, the S&P was down 3.3%. The NASDAQ was down 3.75%, and the Dow was down 3.5%. And it's interesting because most of your European markets were all down over 3%, where Germany got hit hard, 4% for Germany. And, you know, that was my theory last week, is if this coronavirus takes off in Europe, that's when you're going to see things come undone. Because, I mean, the Eurozone, they just can't quarantine things like China did. You've got people working in, I mean, it'll be far more severe. You got people who live in London who work in Paris. You have people who live in Paris but work in London because of the train, the way, I mean, people travel throughout all these nations. I mean, it's open borders. And I think it would be very difficult if it takes off. Look at Italy. You have all of these visitors that are in and out, the tourist industry. It would be very hard to secure quarantine in any of those European nations, particularly like Germany and, you know, France. And that's, to me, is a far worse scenario than what China was, because it would, they can easily contain, not easily, but they can contain larger areas, more people, and so forth than a lot of these, what the European nations can do. That's my view anyway, and it's, so they got hit hard overnight, and it's all based on the coronavirus. Now, you have to ask yourself, is it really the coronavirus, or is it the markets just are beginning to break down because the economies? I mean, there's too many reporting out there about how all economies are all nearing recession, are all ready to drop like rocks, and this is just the, well, I guess it would be the black swan that everybody talks about. We'll see where this ends up at. Also, what's fascinating is the 10-year yield, 1.38%, 1.38%. Incredible. The euro was a little bit stronger, 109 for the on that, up 0.15. We saw the weakness, and so European markets got hit. What I find interesting, Dave, is everybody talks about going to the cryptocurrencies for a safe haven, and I'll tell you what. Here's a perfect example of you know, when there isn't anything happening, people think that people are going to go to Bitcoin and all these cryptocurrencies for their safe haven. Then why is that down 3.25%? Why has it been falling like a rock as we've seen gold rise here of late? The old fundamentals still apply, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, when there isn't any real fear, when there isn't any real panic, and I don't see any fear or panic in the markets yet. Look what the crypto's done. Look what Bitcoin has done. It's going down instead of up. So, again, gold, silver, your go-to hard asset, safe haven. We're having a, and I don't think this, we'll have to see how this plays out, but for future reference, when we have a financial crisis on our hands, let's just see what gold and silver are going to do. And we're going to talk about something else, Dave, that I find this fascinating. And this has been happening with Fidelity since, I think, in October, November, they've been having issues with their trading systems. But now you have Schwab, Fidelity, and Charles Schwab. I guess their clients has experienced difficulties accessing their online accounts today. Both brokers reported about an hour after this morning's market open that the issues, of course, were resolved. Public relations rep for Schwab, which manages about $4 trillion in assets, and of course, the typical due to the higher than usual volume. After Fidelity opened, some clients were experiencing technical issues, and a lot of them were showing their accounts as zero, Dave, is my understanding. And privately held Fidelity, the largest online broker, they manage $7.8 trillion in client assets, Dave.
It's true. And I mean, I'm not surprised that this happened. In fact, I'm surprised we didn't hear about this last week as the markets were moving downward. But TD Ameritrade also experienced what they call some slowness in the reporting of trade confirmations this morning, again related to heavy volumes. TD Ameritrade says it has about $1.4 trillion in client assets. Now, many photos on Twitter showed that Fidelity's platform was telling its client, as Melody just mentioned, their account balance was zero. Yikes. Schwab's app was flashing a temporarily unavailable message. Interestingly, shares of Schwab dipped 4.5% during this market sell-off today.
Well, you know what, Dave? It's always the same. Through every drop in the markets, clients will share with me the trouble they have liquidating their paper assets. I mean, this isn't new. It's going to happen. And I do believe one of these times those zeros won't convert back to what shows in your account. You won't get in to these trading platforms an hour after markets open. You won't be able to finish your trades. I mean, this was really a nothing day to what I think that we might very well experience in the future. And trying to get through to your private brokers, not all of them, but a lot of them, phones just don't get answered because there isn't anything they can do because the computers are jammed. Can I tell you how many times over the years that people have told me they went to liquidate their assets, they thought they were being processed, they're waiting for their checks only to find out that the broker never processed their orders. It takes weeks sometimes to get checks and confirmation that your order to sell was executed because they, you know, for whatever multiple reasons, or you can come up with your own. But we forget, Dave, what happened through the Great Recessions. We forget what happened through the Asian contagion. And these were complaints all through these various stages of when you have corrections in the markets. And I do believe, Dave, that these corrections are going to be far more deeper, far more severe, only because we've pumped so much into these markets. There's no room to play. I've already read articles where, you know, various countries are beginning to put, they're ready. They're ready to stimulate the economy because of the coronavirus. You know, so we did see a surge, a huge surge. It was over 2% for gold prices. 7-year high. You know, as we see as the reports of the coronavirus spreading outside of China and the potential impact on global economic growth. You know, and that's what I said. You know, when you look at the number of people who are and yes, it's sad if anybody loses their life, it's not to look at the virus and you know, in any less meaningful way on how it affects people. But I think the story about this coronavirus is going to be the impact on the global economics because all these nations are so close to recession, because we have the growth being decreased in all these nations. You know, so we did see gold hit 1688 for the day, its highest level since January 2018. Even gold in euros. Pardon?
2013.
What did I say?
18.
Did I? 2013. Yeah. Thank you for the correction. We saw gold in euros. It hit an all-time high of 1560 euros per ounce. And the potential from market analysts all over the place. There is a Han Tan from FXTM. He said the potential fallout from the coronavirus not only triggers risk aversion, but also could also erode the growth potential for the full year. You know what's amazing is China didn't do bad at all. China's stocks didn't do, they went up. I don't know if they finished up from what I saw earlier, and most of the, I think they finished to the upside. And I think the Shanghai is hanging out there about that 3,000 level, which surprises me. As I mentioned, all of the European markets have dropped 3%, more than 3%. You know, as we've seen these new infections in South Korea, Italy, and Iran worsen, Dave. So anything else with the World Trade Organization?
Well, it looks like the Shanghai Index did finish just slightly down. It must have taken some sell-offs at the end of their trading day. But getting back to this, I mean, the WHO said it's worried about the growing number of cases without any link to China. One money manager said there seems to be a mix of short covering and a fear of missing out driving the gains in gold, with the price of 1660 well supported on any pullbacks. MKS PAMP said it expects demand to remain firm through 1650 to 1660, while there's little resistance on the way to 1700. And as we mentioned last week, Citigroup sees 2,000 within 12 to 24 months. That's looking closer and closer to 12, certainly than it is 24. Now, as Melody alluded to, the number of investors expect the Fed and other global central banks to further ease monetary policy this year, as the international risks from the virus continue to threaten global growth, reflecting increased investor interest in bullion. Speculators raised their bullish position on COMEX gold and silver contracts. That's according to data that was released on Friday, Melody. Mm.
Well, you know, there's Larry Benedict. He's the CEO of Opportunistic Trader. He says that the second largest economy in the world is completely shut down. Of course, he's referencing China. Completely shut down. People aren't totally pricing that in. Adding a 10% to 15% correction in stocks may be starting. I'm sorry, but if you had the second largest economy in the world completely being completely shut down, I think 10 to 15% is pretty optimistic. Hey, I hear the music, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. A great day here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. It's always very exciting when we have prices rise in gold and silver. It's our time. It's always our time when you own gold and silver, because it does protect your purchasing power. And that's something that's being taken away from us each and every day. So don't wait for these big drops in the markets to wake you up. And I know everybody is sitting back, or a lot of you are sitting back and thinking, well, I'm going to wait and see what tomorrow brings. And I bet there's going to be a pullback in gold, so I'm just going to wait until it goes down. Now, if you're only pricing your ability to buy gold and silver on the price of gold because it's too high, that's how it gets away from you. That's how it gets away from people and anything that you purchase. Oh, I'm waiting for that special. I'm waiting for those prices to drop. It works sometimes, but most of the time it doesn't. If you're looking to buy gold and silver, this is a time when you just buy. If it goes down a little bit, then you can go in and buy a little more, especially if you have large amounts of money to spend into gold and silver. You're looking to invest in large amounts. Go in. You don't have to buy it all at once. Cost average. Even if it goes up, if you buy a little today's price and it goes up a little bit, you're still bringing those prices down. And, you know, if it goes down, then you're bringing the prices that you bought today down. So there's a lot of ways that you can work your purchases. But the key thing is, don't wait and think that you can time markets. You can't. Rarely few do. And only the very disciplined. And why would you want to worry about it anyway? You just go in and buy. And I'm going to share with you, and I shared it with on this program before, as I always, I don't want you to think that I'm repeating myself. 2008, I can't tell you how many times people bought gold and says, you know what? Once I put that gold in my safe, I didn't look at the stock market anymore. It wasn't important, because I knew I wasn't losing anything. I knew my purchasing power was intact. So I got my gold, I put it away, and I've had the confidence that I was safe in the financial area of their investment world. So that's the relief that you get with gold and silver. And so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week about China, and it is just amazing. It's disturbing. Not amazing. It's disturbing that our medications come from China. About 150 prescription drugs, including antibiotics, generics, and some branded drugs without alternatives, are at risk of shortage if the coronavirus outbreak in China worsens. China is a huge supplier of ingredients used to make drugs that are sold in the U.S. So, I mean, the FDA didn't comment on the list, but they said in a statement that it's keenly aware that the outbreak could impact the medical product supply chain. It also says it's devoted additional resources toward identifying potential vulnerabilities to the U.S. medical products. The agency has been in contact with hundreds of drug and medical device manufacturers, and it's also coordinated with global regulators like the European Medicines Agency. Dave, is this premature to be doing all this, or are we at the point where they are taking this very seriously?
Well, it appears they're taking it seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, there aren't any vaccines at the moment, gene therapies or blood derivatives that are manufactured in China, although raw materials for many products do come from China. or other Southeastern Asian countries. But the FDA is in contact with biological manufacturers to monitor supplies. An FDA spokesperson did say if a potential shortage or disruption of medical products is identified, that the FDA will use all available tools to react swiftly to mitigate the impact to U.S. patients and healthcare professionals. Not sure exactly how that actually plays out in reality, because so much of it appears to be out of their and our hands. So it'll be interesting. But I suspect that you know, it's now well into its second month, and I suspect that with each passing day and new non-China cases coming to the fore, that I think people are thinking, well, we better be a little more proactive than perhaps we had intended originally to be. So,
well, you know, of course, if there's any potential drug shortages, as much as how many Americans are on drugs today, certainly would be felt by those who do rely on them. And this might be a good thing, Dave. This could, there's a lot of talk now about, you know, deglobalization. I don't see that happening, because I think we're all too interconnected now as a global financial money system. But I guess that could be good.
Well, certainly because of this mm-hmm. global interdependence. You know, business and economists, they're understandably fixated on this coronavirus outbreak and its impact on supply chains and all the global economies. It's provoking another round of discussion of deglobalization as the trend of the moment. I mean, if there is any kind of impact in that respect, Melody, I would suspect it would only be temporary. Only I don't see any, you know, reset or paradigm shift in terms of global trade, for example. But it's interesting. Donald Trump offered a tweeted flash at a variation of on that theme last week that some say is worth adding to the conversation. The fear he expressed, in short, and not in his precise words, is that deglobalization risks turning into de-Americanization. Now, those Trump tweets in question marked a remarkable, if belated, public rebuke of hardliners who are advocating new export controls aimed at halting sales of, say, GE jet engines to China and closing the loopholes. Whose loopholes have allowed U.S. suppliers to circumvent a Commerce Department ban on sales to China's Huawei. And that's a big ongoing concern right now that's playing out in countries all across the world.
And I guess that, you know, with Huawei and England, the U.K., That's a big deal, because they're, as far as I know, they're going through with it against President Trump's desire that the UK does business with them. But so there's, you know, it'll be interesting to how the coronavirus does impact a lot of these. And President Trump tweeted out his objection to these ideas by arguing he didn't want to make it impossible to do business with the U.S. Because that will only mean that orders will go to someplace else. So he aimed a broadside at which he made clear he saw as innovations of national security that were too broad. And that last bit should be remarkable to anyone who was following President Trump's trade wars a little bit closely. So, you know, senior officials have regularly declared anything related to America's economic security vital to national security. Even they have argued passenger sedans from Europe. And of course, China's has become a special focus. Most everyone in Washington these days believes a new Cold War is afoot, Dave.
Well, here's an interesting slant, Melody. The more the U.S. blocks the export,
slants.
Yeah, really, really. The more the U.S. blocks the export of components like semiconductors and jet engines to China, and the more it imposes tough sanctions on anyone who violates those kinds of bans, the more it will force not just Chinese companies to stop buying American components, but possibly those from third countries aiming to sell to China as well. So the emerging reality is that selling to China in the future could mean getting America out of the supply chain altogether. It's also a major concern of farm groups and American manufacturers who do a lot of business in China, and for U.S. academic institutions that have attracted tens of thousands of Chinese students each year. Which is why some worry that a longer-term de-Americanization has begun, and that with the genie already out of the bottle, it could be too late to reverse that trend. We'll see.
You know, this weekend I watched that movie about DuPont and the attorney that went up against DuPont. And he's been in a legal battle since the 90s, and what it's done with Teflon. You know, it was in relationship to the Teflon lawsuits. And I really started thinking while I was watching this, Dave, that, you know, we want manufacturing back in this country so much. We've deregulated, and I mean, we just don't know. Everything is done in so much extreme. But Teflon and the amount of products that Teflon is used today, they're saying that 100%, or was it 99% or 100% of the people around the world have this Teflon, not gene, but this Teflon chemical in our bodies. And it's not a good thing. This is the thing that causes all kinds of cancers. You know, we ask ourselves, you know, why is cancer so rampant? And, you know, and these multinational corporations, the DuPonts, the Monsantos, look at the big civil suits on Roundup. And these people pay fines. And their products and what they make billions of dollars. Billions. And they kill people, and it's okay. Nobody, it's. And I'm thinking to myself, why would we want manufacturing back into the? Of course, we're already have this chemical or component in our bodies. I don't know, Dave. It just really, the movie bothered me. And it was, everyone should watch the movie. I don't have to get the name of the movie. I think it was Black Waters or something like that. Everyone should watch that movie. And we know the DuPont was dumping their waters into the Chesapeake. You know, when I moved down here, I was warned by my doctor, don't drink the water, get your own reverse osmosis to drink water. And it's and yet look what DuPont does. And it was interesting, Dave, because the people, and it was West Virginia, the people in the town in the very beginning were upset with the attorney because DuPont provided so many jobs in these communities, that they were angry with the attorney because he was trying to get them decent water, and it was killing all the cattle, the farmers, and I mean, it was affecting everything. And then eventually the people got on board, you know, because you know, the health care and everything was so expensive. I mean, it was a really interesting,
all their movie. Friends and animals dying.
Pardon? Yeah.
And friends, I mean, family and animals dying.
Yeah. And it was basically one farmer from West Virginia that had gone to the law firm, and the law firm actually was representing DuPont at that time. And the farmer took this one attorney out, showed him that his cows, and you know, he had a herd of 100 cows that he had to put down or they died and so forth. And it was, you know, he eventually died of cancer, and it was but we need these regulate. I mean, so China will be experiencing the same thing with its people, I would think. I mean, it goes on. I don't want to spend any more time on it, but so I did ask myself, why do we want manufacturing to come back? They just kill us. They had women on the line. Go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
They had women that were on the line with Teflon, and they were having deformed babies, and so they closed the line, full well knowing. And then they just open up the lines and put the women back on, full well knowing what was going on. It's
the profit,
am I shocked?
Profit motive can be a good thing or a bad thing, and it all depends on the morality and ethics of, you know, the people running these companies. I mean, it brings to mind this too big to fail bank, Wells Fargo. Just late last week, it was announced they'll pay $3 billion to settle U.S. investigations and to more than a decade of those consumer abuses we talked about on this program, and that were in the headlines off and on for a couple of years. And it comes under a deal that lets the scandal-ridden bank avoid criminal charges.
Yep.
Which is to say, it allows former directors, current directors, former and current CEOs, and other senior officials to avoid going to jail. So, and that could create serious complications for the bank, obviously. But now it gets to defer prosecution if it abides by other conditions for three years. And then I guess, Melody, all bets are off. This is the one where investigators found that Wells Fargo's overly aggressive sales targets led thousands of its employees to open millions, ladies and gentlemen, of unauthorized accounts in customers' names, or foist other products on them from 2002 to 2016. Those schemes often created false records, misappropriated customer identities, generated millions of dollars in fees and interest, and in some cases actually damaged customer credit ratings.
And nobody goes to jail. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We're going to move on, and we're going to talk about our newsletter today. Dave, you write an article in today. You write an article in today's edition about credit card delinquencies. No. We're not delinquent on credit cards, are we? Not I, but are other people?
I wasn't planning to write about it, but as luck would have it, this economy that we've been in since the Great Recession, well, we're finding that the rate of credit card balances, unpaid balances that are 30 days or more delinquent. This is at the 4,500 or so commercial banks that are smaller than the top 100 banks, spiked to over 7% in the fourth quarter of last year, meaning 7% of these credit card balances are more than 30 days delinquent. And that's the highest rate going back to the 1980s. A little different at the 100 largest banks. The delinquency rate was a seemingly modest 2.5%. And that kept the overall credit card delinquency rate at all commercial banks at 2.7% last year. Though, significantly, that was still the highest since 2012. I mean, clearly, consumers have obtained credit cards at the smaller banks. They're in a heap of trouble and are falling behind at a historically high rate. But consumers that got their credit cards at the big banks, you know, lured by these cash back offers and other benefits that are heavily promoted, especially to people with top credit scores, they're not feeling the same level of pain.
Well, you know, isn't there a similar trend that's going on with the auto loans? I think delinquent auto loans jumped.
They did almost.
Yeah. 5%?
Almost 5%.
Yeah.
That's higher than the delinquency rate in late 2010, in the midst of the worst unemployment crisis since the Great Depression.
Wow.
Now, on closer inspection, prime-rated loans had historically low delinquency rates, but a shocking one-quarter of all subprime loans were 90-plus days late. During the financial crisis, delinquencies on credit cards and auto loans were soaring because over 10 million people lost their jobs and couldn't make their payments. But these are the supposed good times, Melody.
Yeah.
With government reported headline unemployment rate near 50-year lows. I mean, we know in actuality it's actually twice what it's reported. And yet, there are these skyrocketing delinquency rates in the subprime group of credit cards and auto loans. It means these people are working, and yet they're falling behind on their debts. Consumers with subprime credit scores, that is, you know, scores of below 620, can still get credit cards, but under those subprime terms, they have to pay interest of 25 to 30% or sometimes more on the unpaid balances.
That should be illegal. It really should be, you know?
Oh, my gosh. It should.
It should be illegal.
It's outrageous. It's usurious.
Yep.
To
the
use...
Banks.
Yep.
You point out that these rates come at a time when, according to the FDIC, banks' average cost of funding was about, what, 1%? So the difference between a bank's average cost of funding and the interest it charges is its net interest margin.
And these banks charging 30% interest rates. They're the most profitable assets out there. I like usurious. It reminds me, it's a word I learned. I'm not sure if it was usurious or usury. First time I heard it was in A Christmas Carol. Good friend Ebenezer Scrooge. I'm not sure if he said it or if someone said it about him. But, you know, to get profits, I mean, banks take some levels of risk. But when a portion of those credit card accounts have to be written off and sold for cents on the dollar to a collection agency, turns out they're still profitable. That's how outrageous the net interest margin is for banks out there. In addition, banks offload part of the subprime risk to investors by what they did 10, 12 years ago, by securitizing those subprime credit card loans into asset-backed securities. And investors love them and chase after them for the slightly higher yield they offer and would otherwise get. So as we mentioned before, the largest 100 banks have a delinquency rate of just 2.5%. With their sophisticated marketing, they go aggressively after consumers with high credit scores and high incomes. And again, to get them, the big banks offer big benefits. And so a bidding war has broken out, essentially, for these high credit score consumers with 2% cash back or more on every purchase and other benefits that small banks just can't offer. It's a vicious cycle, Melody. It's not getting any easier for a lot of people out there. And just remember, you know, that there are there. If you feel you need to have a credit card, there are good banks and there are bad banks out there. Do yourself and your families a favor and your credit score, and do some homework before you, apply for your next one.
Well, what they really need to do is pay cash. If you don't have the cash, you don't buy it. You don't go deeper in debt. And so don't think that you can get one credit card, pay off your old credit card, thinking that you can manage it. No, you pay down your debt. You stay out of debt. You get your finances in order, and you buy gold and silver. You must pay down that debt. If you need something, if you don't have the cash, you don't need it that bad. And Dave, I guess everyone can read your entire article in this week's newsletter when it comes out today. And they can go to the website at dgscoins.com, sign up for the newsletter. And it comes out weekly and doesn't cost you anything. Wendy Wilson also has an article in there. So, and we put out a market report. So you can keep track of what the markets do on a week-to-week basis. I want to move on down to Sears. We've talked about the retail apocalypse news, and Sears has reached a new deal. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, go ahead. I can. Under the title Retail Apocalypse, Sears has reached a deal, it appears, for a fresh financial lifeline totaling about $100 million from the hedge fund Brigade Capital Management as it tries to stabilize after bankruptcy. Sears billionaire owner Eddie Lampert rescued the retailer from liquidation a year ago, $5.2 billion takeover during bankruptcy proceedings. And the company's continuing need for new cash underscores Lampert's challenges in turning around. Sears reached an agreement with Brigade for the $100 million financing in recent weeks. Lampert has also bankrolled Sears in recent months without disclosing the amount of funding he provided. Brigade has extended loans to other troubled retailers as well, including high fashion chain Barney's and children's clothing shop Gymboree.
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest issues with him, and everybody thinks he kind of set this all up, is their pensions. I think that's one of the biggest issues that, you know, I think he faced, and them wanting to, of course, you know, strip the pensions and reduce them, take away some of the benefits from the pension of Sears. But they don't talk about that. They don't want people to know that people are getting stripped out of their pensions when these companies like Sears and all the rest of the retail stores, the big ones that have some sort of a plan, you're going to be affected. People are going to be affected. The money that they were, depending on, that they were promised, is not going to come through. So, again, we're looking at promise to pay, just like our debt. We have debt too great to be paid. It's all promises. And, I guess Apple was down. It was down huge today. I can't remember what percentage. Was it 5% or 8% today, I think, Dave? But we've seen over the past decade, technology startups grew quickly. They couldn't hire people fast enough. But now, the layoffs have started coming in droves. Last month, the robot pizza startup, Zoomy, and I guess that's how you pronounce it, Zoomy, and the car Zoom. And the car sharing company GetAround slashed more than 500 jobs. The DNA testing company 23andMe, the logistics startup Flexport, the Firefox. This sounds like the dot-com bust. All these companies out there that couldn't hire enough people now all of a sudden are dumping them as fast as they can. Firefox maker Mozilla and the question and answer website Quora did their own cuts. It feels like reckoning is here. He's Josh Wolf. He said that he's a venture capitalist at Lux Capital in New York. He says it's a humbling shift for an industry that long saw itself as an engine of job creation and innovation, producing the ride-hailing giant Uber, the hospitality company Airbnb, and other now well-known brands. Different day, same thing, different day.
Oh, boy, how about it? I mean, the money that rolls into these startups is really astounding. $763 billion into startups in just the U.S. over the last 10 years. That capital has also fueled growth in young companies in lots of other areas. Unlike low-cost software startups, these private companies frequently take on old-line competitors by spending heavily on physical assets and workers while losing money. Now, pullbacks unfolding in the areas that drew the most hype. More than 30 startups around the world have slashed more than 8,000 jobs now over just the last 4 months. And investment in young companies, Melody, has fallen with over 2,200 startups raising money in the U.S. in the last 3 months of 2019. As big as it sounds, it's the fewest since 2016.
Well, we have about 3 minutes left of the program, and we didn't get to a lot of the things that we wanted to talk about today. We had Venezuela. We wanted to talk about the census, and we'll save those for another day. But Dave received a note, a card, from one of our listeners, and I think it's important to share certain things, and I'm not going to give names, I'm not going to go into details on the whole letter and so forth, but when it comes down to, and I also wanted Dave to understand, not to understand, because he does understand, this letter came in thanking Dave, and about a story that he shared about his own personal journey last year. And this lady, woman, listener, had somewhat of a same situation. And she didn't want to go into detail about what happened to her, but she wanted to thank Dave for his timely words. She wrote, "Sometimes we do not know what the words we speak, how it can cause life or death." And this was the good thing she was, and this was a Proverbs in the Bible. has a lot to say about our words on our tongue. And she always wants to speak life into another person. And she says, Dave, thank you. And I want to thank her, because I'm sure she's listening. I wanted to thank you to sending us and sending Dave that note. And
That's very, very sweet of the listener, and quite humbling, knowing she was going through a similar physical issue, and I'm just tickled and again humbled that some of my experience may have helped her in a time of need.
So thank you for sharing it. And listeners, that's how important it is that you share information with us. If you have something to write us or to say, send it to, you can either mail it to, and she actually used my old address in Port Matilda, and then it was returned, and she resent it. P.O. Box 276, Berlin, Maryland. That's P.O. Box 276, Berlin, Maryland. And our email address is discountgoldensilver@yahoo.com. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.